Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke and I'm sitting here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hello, Dave.
This is an outrage. You're sitting here with Jess Perkins and some old man.
Yeah, that's true. Hello, old man.
Oh. Hello, Greg. Yeah, he's not on mic today, but it's good to have you in the corner there anyway.
Well, I just high-fived Greg.
Yeah, on you, Greg.
Greg with three Gs. One at the start, two at the end.
Yeah.
Like all good Gregs should.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually the inventor of Greg's, the bakery in the UK. Yeah. His full name's Gary Gregg. Gregg's his surname. When I met him before, I said, hey, Greg. He said, my father's name was Greg. You can call me Gary Gregg.
Wow.
Yeah. So I disrespected him by calling him Greg. Sorry about that, Greg.
I disrespected him by calling him an old man. I'm so sorry, Greg. I didn't know your name and I panicked. And so I identified you by your age.
Yeah. Anyway, Greg, thanks for sitting in this week. but we will try not to refer to you too much in this episode.
Yeah,
I do feel like I'm being watched.
Yeah, you are. He's staring right at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's feeling inspired for a new kind of pie. There's something about your hair.
Yeah,
it's
he's like going to call it
sitting on your head.
A cutie pie.
Mm. Greg, my eyes are up here, please.
My eyes are down here. Stop looking at my hair. So this is a show. It's called Do Go On. And on it, we rotate between the three of us, Jess Perkins, Dave Warnke.
Close enough.
And me, Matt.
Warnke.
Oh, Warnke.
Thank you.
And me, Matt Stewart. And
emphasis on the art.
What we do here is one of us researches a topic through the week, usually being suggested by a listener, and then we bring that report in and tell the other two all about it. This week, Jess Perkins is doing that report. We don't know what the topic is, Dave and I, but Jess is going to get us on the topic with a question. Jess, what is this week's question?
This week's question is, who was also known by the following nicknames?
Ooh. Multiple, okay.
Okay, I know nicknames. That's one of my strong suits.
The Juggernaut.
Okay, that's Gary Gregg.
Mike the Durable.
Okay.
Iron Mike.
Mike Tyson?
Or Irish Rasputin.
Oh, okay.
Mike Tyson?
Michael Collins?
I don't know if this is one you would have heard of.
Michael. So it's an Irish Michael.
It is a Michael.
I'm out from all my Michaels. Is it Bono?
Michael Flatley. I wish. Have you heard of Michael Malloy?
No. Malloy I've heard of.
Often, no, this is Malloy.
Oh, Malloy.
He's often referred to as the man who wouldn't die.
Or the Irish Rasputin.
Yeah. Or Iron Mike. Or the man who wouldn't die.
That is such a badass nickname.
It's great.
I wonder where he got the Rasputin thing. I wonder if it's because he's got a magic dick.
Yeah.
Did Rasputin have a magic dick?
That's all I remember about
Rasputin. We talked about it on episode 100.
God, that was so long ago, though.
What was
so good about his dick?
It was a magic dick, and then apparently people, when he died, kept it in a jar.
Oh. Yeah.
If you get it in you're cured.
Yeah, I imagine that.
He would say.
Of what?
Has Iron Mike eaten Rasputin's dick?
Look, I will not confirm nor deny.
Right. The man who wouldn't die. I wonder if he's still alive.
Who wouldn't die.
What does that make you to dick in? If you put a Rasputin's dick in you. Anyway, felt like there was something there.
Hey, not all instincts are good, and that's okay.
I'm here to prove that.
Yeah. This has been suggested a few times in the hat, which you can, like, there'll be a link in this episode's description, or you can go to our website if you want to put in a suggestion anytime.
Anyone can do it.
Well, these people did. Owen Fitzpatrick, Nitish Bhatt, Jeremiah Bang. Amazing.
Nitish Bhatt.
Nitish Bhatt. You skipped over Nitish Bhatt.
Nitish Bhatt is so good.
Jeremiah.
I'm sure we've spoken to Nitish before.
Well, Jeremiah Bang.
That's Bang.
Bang.
And also by Marcio too.
Wow, so it's relatively, are they all Irish?
I know Owen is, and I'm sorry if
it, Owen sounded very Irish.
It's E-I-O-N, which can either be like Owen or like Ian.
Okay.
So Owen / Ian.
But we definitely nailed the pronunciation of Nitish Bhatt.
Yeah.
Let's just say
Yeah,
that.
True. So, you know, take one for the team, Owen.
Thank you.
Or so, Ian or Iron.
Or Iron.
Ian's earring.
The year.
Is it actually Owen Mike?
What? No.
Instead of Iron? He's Irish.
Can I just start?
Bit of wordplay there, everyone. don't worry, we'll warm up really soon.
Can you edit all that stuff out, Jess, please? Don't make us look bad. Thank
Absolutely
you.
Not. I'll make you look worse somehow. So when you're listening, if you're listening to that before and thought, God, that was a mess, that was my editing skills.
Okay.
The year was 1932.
Ooh, a good year.
The Great Depression was in full swing.
The greatest of years.
And life was pretty bleak across the board.
Okay.
Michael Malloy was a regular at Tony Marino's bar where he'd drink until he passed out. No one knew much about Michael Malloy other than that he'd come from Ireland. This is in New York. And that he was originally from County Donegal. He moved to New York, where he worked as a firefighter. Fortunately, he enjoyed a drink a little too much and lost his job due to his unreliability and erratic behaviour.
Did you just say fortunately that happened?
Unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say because...
Fortunately.
Yeah, but don't worry. When he was passed out, someone put a winning lottery ticket in his pants and that would have happened otherwise.
Hooray. No, so he used to work as a firefighter. Now he was unemployed, presumed living on the streets. And nobody really knew anything about him. He had no family or friends, no definitive date of birth. Most people guessed he was around 60, but who knows?
Right.
And he didn't have a job other than occasionally collecting rubbish or sweeping alleyways. One night, Tony Marino was at his speakeasy, speaking to his friends Francis Pasqua and Daniel Kreisberg. And Marino confided in his friends the business was not going well.
Despite the fact that a guy drinks till he passes out every night.
Well,
he's a good customer.
That's the thing. Marino was about 20, he was 27 years old, and he would be lucky to get money from his customers. So tabs were opened but rarely paid.
He's not very good at the business.
No, he's not good at business. Wow. Make people pay for the drink when they get the drink. Don't open a tab.
I've never thought of that. I've never thought of that.
Just opening a tab and bailing on it?
No, I've never thought of charging someone up front.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that
it's a real game changer, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, tricky back then. It was all checks and stuff, right? I'll write you a check.
Yeah.
Now, you'll find out that I don't have any money in my bank next week sometime. Yeah. And trust me till then.
It's all bootlegged whiskey as well. Like, it's all bootlegged alcohol because prohibition's happening as well. So they're like underground sort of hidden speakeasies. And
so it'd be like, you give me this non-genuine liquor, I'll give you this non-genuine money.
Yeah. I'll pay you in good wishes. So business isn't going very well for him. And his friend Pasqua, who was 24 and was an undertaker by trade, said, why don't you take out an insurance policy on Malloy? There's an amazing article from the Smithsonian, and this is a little passage from that. He says, Pasqua knew he'd pulled off such a scheme once before. The year prior, Marino had befriended a homeless woman named Mabel Carson. He convinced her to take out a $2,000 life insurance policy, naming him as the beneficiary. One cold night, he force-fed her alcohol, stripped off her clothing, doused the sheets and mattress with ice water, and pushed the bed beneath an open window. The medical examiner listed the cause of death as pneumonia, and Marino collected the money without incident.
That is the most horrific thing
I've
ever heard.
What the hell?
What? Can you kill someone that way?
Well, yeah, she would have, like, it probably would have been something like pneumonia. Her body would have just shut down.
Wow. And she, so she was so drunk she didn't know to...
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't conscious to... Oh, that's pretty messed up.
Yep.
I thought he was going to douse her in petrol and set her on fire. That was terrible. Somehow, I'm even more shocked.
Yeah.
Because it has to look like an accident.
Oh.
That's full on.
Whereas, like, I doubt she would accidentally douse herself in petrol.
Oh, no, there's the petrol. Oh, no, there's the cigarette.
But if she's just found really cold in bed.
And that doesn't burn down the whole building as well.
Yeah. So.
I mean, it's kind of ingenious, but also the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And I have a little note here that I said, so we're talking about some very nice people here.
Wow, Pascal, you dirty dog.
Well, that was Marino. Marino did that.
Oh, Marino had done that.
Pascal, like, he suggested it to Marino knowing that Marino had gotten away with it once before.
Like, he's too much of a wuss to ask people for money for the beers.
But he'll just kill people.
But he'll kill people.
Yeah. So Marino...
Oh, I could ask him to close their tab, but...
Probably easier to just kill him.
Why don't I just kill this woman?
Why don't I just close the tab on her life? Cash in.
Open the window, close the tab on her life.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Wow, that is nice.
When one window opens, something, something, something.
Yes. One woman dies.
Yada, yada, yada. So Marino thought about Pasqua's suggestion, and looking at Malloy, he figured he ain't got much longer to go anyhow. The stuff is getting him. Yeah, the stuff being the alcohol that Marino was giving him. So
fantastic. For free, I guess?
Not yet. But that does happen. The third man, who was Daniel Kreisberg, he was 29 years old. He was a grocer. He was a father of three. And he thought about the plan and agreed in the hopes of coming into some money for his young family. Not really sure what, like, basically there's a group of them, and I'm not really sure what much he actually does. But anyway, he was like, yeah, all right, I'll do it because if we get some money out of it, then I can, you know, feed my kids.
Jeez, you would be so sus on this guy offering you a drink.
What, if you knew?
If Malloy, any of these people around him would be like, Malloy's going, oh, this one's in the house. Ah, what do you got planned for me, yeah. Malloy?
No, Malloy's the Marino. You think you're Marino?
Oh, Marino. There's too many names.
Tony Marino.
Well, there's going to be more.
What?
In a couple of resources I read, they claimed that Michael Malloy signed the insurance papers himself, tricked into signing a form that said he could have unlimited free drinks at Marino's speakeasy.
Sign here, I'll give you a puppy. Okay.
However, I'm not sure I believe that. I read this account, which I feel is probably more likely. So Pasqua paid an acquaintance to come with him to meetings with insurance agents. This acquaintance would tell the insurance agents his name was Nicholas Mellory, and that he worked as a florist, and Pasqua had a colleague in the funeral biz falsely verify that, yes, this guy's a florist, I've worked with him at funerals. So then that's how they took out insurance policies.
But there's a different name, though, too.
Yeah, but they were just going to, like, use the body and be like, it's Nicholas.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. It's a different time. You could just use other bodies. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's my mum. Yeah.
But then why make it a name similar?
Yeah, that is strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my dead body. I've died.
Yeah, I'm dead.
Now, can I have
money, please?
Yeah. Yeah, so I won't be coming into school today. As you can see, I'm dead. So, yeah, that homework will not be done.
It really was a different time.
Different time.
The Great Depression. Why do they call it that? It sounds amazing.
It sounds like opportunities were endless. Yeah. It took Pasqua 5 months, but eventually he got three different life insurance policies, all offering double indemnity, which means double the payout if it's an accident, on this guy, Nicholas Mellory's life. It doesn't exist. Two of the policies were with Prudential Life Insurance Company and one was with the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
So one company insured the same person twice and
yep.
Both of them don't exist.
Yeah. Correct.
And they're both set up to double. So there's two of them already. They've doubled it and then they'll double it again if it's an accident.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They have to pay out four times for one man.
Yeah.
The same company.
Yeah.
One man who doesn't exist. This is a good scam.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They thought it through.
It would be even better if the body they needed was just like a bunch of potatoes or something. Yeah. So no one even had to die.
It was just a rug.
There he is.
There he is. No, don't look at him.
Have you ever met him before? You don't know he's not a rug.
How dare
That's
you.
That's him. He's the rug.
He's a rug. And he was the best goddamn rug I ever knew.
My living room's so empty right now.
And my heart.
An open casket. It's a rolled up rug.
Everyone has to kiss the rug.
Kiss the rug. Pasqua, he also recruited another acquaintance who was a bartender at Tony Marino's bar to act as next of kin and beneficiary for this fictional Nicholas Mellory. And all he would need to do would be to positively identify the body, falsely positively.
Yeah, that's a rug.
Identify it. And the money would be theirs. If they pulled off the plan, they would split $3,500, which was about like 66 grand today. So it was a fair bit of money.
I mean, it's a lot of effort for 66 grand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you're risking a lot.
A lot.
You're murdering a man.
You're murdering a man for a split of 66 grand.
Oh,
too.
So that's not even their cut. You get a third of that each.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
remembering that it is the Great Depression. They got their money.
That's also only if there was only three of them. They get more people. So it's now December of the 1932, and a few extra men were added to the group. The press would later call them the Murder Trust. The people that were added were petty criminals John McNally and Edward Tinny Smith. He had a fake ear, but it was not made of tin. It was made of wax. No idea why anybody called him Tinny, but they did.
Okay.
Edward Tinny Smith. And there was also Tough Tony Bastone and his submissive sidekick, Joseph Maglione.
Joseph the Carrot Nose Maglione.
He was a snowman.
So like I touched on before, part of the plan was giving Malloy free drinks. They thought, he's a big drinker.
Part of the plan. Malloy's like, I never pay you anyway.
Yeah, I've never given you any money, but they're like, take it for free. They sort of figured he was a big drinker, he'll just drink himself to death. Easy peasy.
Actually, I mean, that's less nasty than the freezing water one.
That's borderline ethical.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's definitely not. But I think they wanted it to, you know, like you can certainly drink yourself to death over many decades. You know, caused so many issues. I think they wanted him to like drink himself to dead right now.
Like tonight. Can you drink yourself to death tonight?
Could you?
I bet you can't drink 30 bottles of vodka.
Reverse
Child accepted.
Oh, no, I could.
They're also giving him, like, high-fat meals and cigarettes. Just trying to really get him going. You can't exercise anymore.
Nobody loves you. Yeah. They're also trying to beat him down.
They put multiple old mobile phones in his pockets. Yeah, mate, that radiation over time. It's going to lead to some issues, possibly.
Come stand near the microwave.
I'm putting it on for 8 minutes. Don't move.
That'll be enough to kill him.
So they wanted him to just drink himself to death, and that way it would also look like the death was an accident. You know, like it just happened. It wasn't anything suspicious.
But do you think that's double indemnity? Do you think that counts as an accident if someone has drunk themselves to death over their lifetime? It's not like something... like you got hit by a car or something fell on your head. It's like over several decades, like you were saying, he drank too much accidentally.
Yeah, he didn't know. Yeah,
you can get alcohol poisoning,
Of course. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Isn't
like
how Bon Scott went out, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, choking on your own vom.
Yeah.
That's a real rock star.
In a car.
Really?
Pretty sure he was sitting.
In a car.
Sitting and sleeping in a car.
Oh, that's sad. So, yeah, they thought, look, we'll give him free drinks. He'll be dead this week. But this went on for weeks and weeks, and Malloy would always turn up the next day to take his seat at the bar and start all over again. Like,
oh, this is the week. This is the week.
We've got him.
How funny, you know, like Cheers where everyone knows your name. Hey, Norm. Yeah. You're like, fuck.
Malloy.
Back in again. Malloy, you're still here.
Oh, you're still alive.
I gave you a cup of methylated spirits last night and it hasn't done the trick.
Dave, you are so close.
Oh, really?
The Murder Trust were at a loss. Day after day, Malloy came back into the bar and enjoyed his free drinks.
And the Trust are always like huddling around like they're about to play in some sort of big tournament.
Yeah, they're like getting a game plan, hyping themselves up.
Murder Trust!
He'd have his drinks, he'd stumble off and he'd be back the next day. Growing increasingly patient, Tough Tony suggested someone just shoot Malloy in the head and get it over and done with.
Could be. That's an accident.
That is tough.
That is tough. I'm Tough Tony.
Tony, I got a carrot nose.
But Murphy recommended a more subtle solution.
Is that tin ear?
Sword. Yeah, no.
Chopping off
Smith.
An arm. Let him bleed out.
Let him bleed out.
No, I don't even remember.
Sorry. Murphy, what did Murphy want?
Murphy said, well, what about if we swap out his whiskey and gin with shots of wood alcohol?
Wood alcohol?
Which is basically methanol.
So it's like close to 100% proof or whatever.
Yeah, it's used in automotive antifreezes, in rocket fuels, and as a general solvent. So they thought, here we go. Like in drinks containing just 4% wood alcohol could cause blindness. And by 1929, more than 50,000 people nationwide had died from the effects of impure alcohol. So their plan wasn't just to serve him like shots tainted with wood oil, but straight up wood alcohol, wood oil, wood alcohol.
This is starting to get a little less ethical.
Yeah. They're like, let's just straight up poison him. So Murphy bought some wood alcohol at a local hardware store, took it back to the bar, and Marino served Malloy shots of cheap whiskey to get him feeling good, and then they made the switch.
And this guy's just like, keep him coming.
Yeah, I love the idea of cheap whiskey. He's like, oh, I'm king of the world. Don't even have to drink wood or solvent today. Cheap whiskey? Holy moly, this is meant to be drunk.
We got a new cocktail. It's called Rocket Fuel.
You're going to love it. The gang watched on as Malloy downed the drinks.
Everyone is like in the whole bar is just staring at this guy.
And
you wouldn't be sus at all that these people are staring at you very intently while you're having a drink.
All holding big bottles of Valvoline. You know what I mean.
Valvoline. They must be. I mean, he must be so pissed all the time. He's not noticing any of this behavior.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, my boys, it's my mates.
My
hey, the murder crew.
That's the thing.
Why do we call ourselves that again?
So they're watching him and they're like, here we go. But their enthusiasm didn't last long as he never showed any signs of illness. In fact, just kept drinking.
No.
He certainly got drunk, but he did not get dead. Night after night, the scene repeated itself. This is a little quote from that Smithsonian article. Night after night, the scene repeated itself, with Malloy drinking shots of wood alcohol as fast as Murphy poured them, until the night he crumpled without warning to the floor. The gang fell silent, staring at the jumbled head a heap by their feet. Pascal knelt by Malloy's body, feeling his neck for the pulse, lowering his ear to the mouth. The man's breath was slow and laboured.
He couldn't hear, it was his tin ear.
They decided to wait, watching the sluggish rise and fall of his chest. Any minute now. Finally, there was a long, jagged breath. The death rattle, maybe? But then Malloy began to snore. He's just gone to sleep. And then he woke up several hours later and asked for a drink.
All of a sudden, everyone's like, they're back at the drawing board. And he pan out, and all of a sudden he's standing in the edge of the shot in a dressing gown brushing his teeth. Hey, fella, what have you been up to? Sorry, I passed out before. Can I grab a drink? Oh, they're all on the house for me now. I'll just pull my own. Is that cool?
Anyone want a drink?
Yeah. Valvoline? Anyone in?
It's so good.
He just started snoring.
So they're like, we've got him. He's dead.
He's made.
He's just fallen asleep. More deadly poisons were added to Malloy's drinks in an attempt to finally break his immune system. They tried turpentine, horse liniment, and even rat poison, but he still kept coming back.
Holy moly.
He drank rat poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is seriously. Wow.
And then they tried raw oysters, which was Pasqua's idea, knowing that Murphy enjoyed seafood.
Don't you eat oysters raw?
No, but they'd soaked them in something like wood alcohol.
Rat poison.
And then given it to him.
Yeah, well, the wood alcohol didn't work.
No,
straight.
They weren't raw. They were like off. They were off.
Okay.
But incredibly, his digestive system seemed to be able to cope with that as well.
Iron guts.
At this point.
Iron Mike, I get it now.
Yeah. At this point, their murder attempt was costing them money because between the bar tab, the wood alcohol.
About $66,000.
And the monthly insurance premiums that they're paying.
Three times.
They were running up a fair bit of debt with the plan and nothing seemed to be working.
And he's just having a great time.
He's like, this is the best. I got some new friends.
Gosh, thanks so much for looking after me. I don't know why, but I really appreciate it. Now seafood?
Yeah. This is the
what
best.
A delicacy.
The king.
God, I just didn't know you guys were paying so much attention to me. Just, it's so nice.
I mean, you, a grown man could have friends like these.
best birthday ever. I didn't realize it was his birthday. This is so cool.
Oh, this is so lovely. Thank you so much.
Shots all around.
They're like, no, we're good.
Give me some more rocket fuel.
Okay, so Murphy had an idea next. He let a tin of sardines rot for several days, mixed in some shrapnel.
He's not going to notice that there's nails in his fish.
God, this is pretty crunchy sardines.
Slathered the concoction between pieces of bread and served Malloy the sandwich.
No, I probably just assumed it was like a whole meal, like a multi-grain bread.
Yeah, like you get bits.
You're going to get bits in that.
Any minute, they thought, this metal's going to start slashing through his organs. Instead, Malloy finished the sandwich and asked for another.
That was great. That was really great.
Rotten sardines. I also read at one point it had like drawing pins in there.
Oh.
He's just eating it. How are you not noticing? It's insane. So then they realised that if they really wanted to kill Malloy, which, oh boy, they did, they'd have to do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
They had tried poisoning him with everything they could think of, and nothing had worked. And Marino recalled his success with Mabel Carlson and suggested that they ice Malloy down and leave him outside overnight. So that night, they waited for Malloy to inevitably pass out drunk. They tossed him in the back seat of Pasqua's car, and they drove in silence to Crotona Park.
Out of respect.
Yeah. And dragged the unconscious man through piles of snow. They stripped off his shirt, they dumped bottles of cold water on him, and at no time did he wake up during any of this. So you can only imagine how shit-faced he is. And then Marino and Pasqua left him there in the park to freeze to death. They go back, they go home, go to bed, sleep easy. And they're like, all right, we did it. The next day, Malloy returned to Marino's bar.
No!
Laughing about waking up in the snow.
Guys, I must have been wasted last night. I don't even remember walking through the snow or taking my top off.
Exactly. He had no idea how he'd got there.
He's like lying in the snow. The last time they did it, on a bed with a window open.
Yeah, he's in the snow. No shirt and cold water dumped all over him, so his body is just so cold.
They must be thinking about cutting their losses at some point here.
Surely, but...
Or thinking that he's some sort of spirit or something.
Yeah, he's made a deal with the devil.
He can't be taken down.
If there's one thing they have, though, it's perseverance.
This is crazy.
So Malloy spent the day laughing about it with his bemused friends over drinks. He's like, isn't this fun? Oh, God, I am wild. I am wacky. What am I like? Am I right, fellas? Best friends? Are we all getting matching tats? Let's do it.
Yeah.
So another month had passed and another insurance policy payment was due, so the murder trust were growing more and more impatient. Someone suggested they just hit him with a car. So they recruited the service of a cab driver friend of theirs.
So another person's been cut into
another person's
deal.
In, but only for like a one-off payment kind of thing. He's not getting a whole thing. I think they were going to pay him like $160. His name's listed as two different names in a couple of different sources.
And he has to destroy his cab as well.
Yeah. His name's either Harry or Hershey Green. It's definitely Green.
Let's go with Hershey because it's great.
It's great.
That feels like a bad deal for him. $160 to kill someone.
Yeah.
And ruin your car.
And ruin your car.
Which is your the way you're
your livelihood. And you've got, and if you work for a cab company or whatever, you've got to be like, yeah, I killed a man last night.
Yeah.
And I don't have a car. Can I borrow a car?
It was an accident.
Certainly that's what we'll be telling the insurance company anyway.
I've said too much.
So you might think that they just get Green to wait outside the speakeasy until Malloy left and then follow him for a bit and hit him. That would, to me, that seems...
That's what I'm thinking. I'm still assuming that right now.
That seems pretty logical. But no, that's way too clever. Apparently what they did was, once again, let Malloy drink himself until he was very, very drunk, and then they all piled into the cab together with a drunk Malloy, passed out lying across their legs.
Okay.
And they drove a few blocks and they stopped, and two of them dragged Malloy down the road. They held him up, kind of like... crucifixion style. They was holding him up because he couldn't stand because he was that drunk. So they held him up, and then Green gunned the engine. He starts racing towards them. Everyone's braced. But from the corner of his eye...
Wait, what? All of them are in front of the car.
I know. So what, they're going to jump out of the way? I don't know what their plan is. But out of the corner of his eye, Maglione saw a woman turn on a light in her room, and he worried that she'd witness the incident. So he called out to stop. So the cab screeches to a halt. Everyone's sort of like, oh, man. And then they're making sure the coast is clear. Once they're like, yep, we're all good. She hasn't seen anything. She's just turning on a light. They prepared for round two.
She's gone to bed. Well, is it in the same spot?
Yep, they didn't move.
Oh, my God.
Malloy managed to leap out of the way, not once, but twice.
What? They're holding him up and he jumped out of the way.
He's like, hey, fellas, what are the odds of this? Twice in the same night, someone's trying to run us over while we've been standing in the middle of the road. Oh, that was lucky. Anyway, should we, yeah, let's continue the conversation
back
in the middle of the road. Anyway.
I feel lucky.
Oh, my God, there's a cat. Quick.
Oh, well, I need to go home. Cab? Taxi?
On the third go, Green raced at Malloy at 50 miles or 80 kilometres an hour, and he hit him, Malloy bouncing off the hood of the car and falling to the ground. For good measure, Green backed up over him again, just to make sure. This time, they'd done it. The gang were sure. He was definitely dead.
Aww.
But another car was coming, so they fled the scene so that they weren't seen. There were no witnesses. So about a week later, Joseph Murphy, pretending to be the brother of Nicholas Mellory, this fake person, called all the morgues and hospitals in an attempt to locate his missing sibling. But no one had any information. There were no reports of a fatal accident in the newspaper. And 5 days after that, when there was still no record of Malloy being dead, Pasca and the rest of the gang were getting so desperate that Pasca was plotting to just kill any other drunk he could and pass him off as his fictional Nicholas Mellory. And then, lo and behold, in walks Malloy.
Boy, have I got a head.
He's pretty battered and bruised. I think he'd fractured his skull and some sort of injury to his leg, whether it was a fracture or a break or something like that.
And he's still at the bar a week later.
It was about 4 weeks later. A month went by in this whole time.
Oh, my God.
And he was so keen to tell his friends about this wild story.
Oh, my.
I know. All he could remember was the taste of whiskey, the cold night air, a flash of lights, and waking up in Fordham Hospital.
That's all he can ever remember.
I know.
They're doing this the wrong way. They could make money out of this guy alive. Like, tour him around. Have your best shot. You could run him over, do whatever you like. He can't die.
He will not die.
Just charge for tickets.
Drinking competitions. I will drink anything.
Yeah. I'll just gamble. Anyone, put up a bet. They could make way more money using him for good.
Yeah.
But you have to explain to him, how do you know that I can drink methylated spirits and not die? Well.
You see, funny our friendship story. Didn't really start out as a conventional friendship.
But we like you now.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill you now.
We've grown fond of you.
Now I just want to make money off you, off your alcoholism. Finally, though, Malloy's luck had to come to an end. Dave, as you would say,
all good things sadly must come to an end, including Malloy's luck.
And this long torture of a poor man.
On February 21st, 1933, 7 months after the murder trust had first made their plan, they once again waited for Malloy to drink himself into an unconscious state. They then took him to an apartment building less than a mile away from the speakeasy, and this is fucked. They put one end of a rubber tube from a gaslight into his mouth, wrapped a towel tightly around his face, and then poisoned him with carbon monoxide. This time, Malloy did not make a miraculous recovery, and he was finally dead.
He made two miraculous recoveries.
A friend of the group, who was a dodgy doctor named Dr. Frank Manzella, filed a fake death certificate stating that this was Nicholas Mellory and that he'd died of pneumonia.
I mean, this murder group has like half the city in it.
$3.
Yeah.
It's really pointless at this point. Plus, by the time you're covering the costs of your insurance policies and how much alcohol he's drank and how much the tins of wood alcohol they had to keep going and getting from the hardware store.
A new cab.
I often think about that with, like, criminal stuff that takes so much time and effort. It's like, great, you've got dedication.
Yeah.
Just use that dedication for something legal and you'll go really far.
Yeah.
It's so much time and effort.
For something legal?
Yeah. Like if you were just, and you're not murdering a man.
Right.
Yeah, but there's
take that tenacity and apply it.
Wedding planning.
Somewhere else. Yes, exactly. You'd be great.
You're a real planner. Exactly. Attention to detail.
Exactly. You know what they can and can't drink. For example, oysters.
Doesn't even have to be specifically weddings, just events.
Yes, event planning.
Event planning.
This is a man who has grown up in the affluent East who believes everyone's got an equal shot. Do you think these people in the Great Depression could just start a wedding planning company?
Event planning,
sorry,
please.
Sorry, event planning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Thank you.
Certainly. Sorry, I missed that
People part. Have to plan their Great Depressed events.
Not everyone was depressed.
Ah.
I'm sure the mega wealthy was still okay.
Do you think the Great Gatsby organized his own stuff? He had an event planner.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? His lavish parties?
Yeah.
Oh, they were so lavish.
Exactly.
Of course, he must have had a planner, a staff,
yes,
in fact.
He would have had several planners.
The themes to his parties.
Oh.
Yeah, they were often like 1920s themed.
Yeah, so fun.
Yeah, I love that.
Love that. I love like the frilly skirts.
Flappers.
And stuff. Flappers.
They flappers.
Flapper
Dave?
Dress, yes. They're fun. And you wear a little like a headband.
Yeah.
That keeps your hair in a weirdly flat place. Yeah, so good.
Or that, you know, in Poirot, the old David. Dave, are you familiar with the David Suchet version of Poirot?
No, I'm more of a John Malkovich fan.
Okay.
But David Suchet, yes.
His assistant in the first few seasons who had that weird hairstyle where the fringing curls.
Miss Lemon. Miss Lemon.
I kept looking at her, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh, my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God. When was this a thing?
Yeah.
She looks great.
Circles of hair on your forehead?
Hate it. Not a fan.
I want to go back. And if I had a time machine, that's where I'd go back and I'd say, stop it. Stop it with that hair. Would I kill baby Hitler? No. I would go to the hairdressing salons of the 1920s.
And say, ladies, enough.
Shave it off.
Get rid of it.
You look ridiculous.
Jump back in the DeLorean and, you know, the history's changed.
Shave some heads.
Yeah,
Hitler probably never became, you know, the guy he was if I changed that little bit of the 1920s.
Yeah, you're right. Butterfly flaps at wings, etc.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Think about that. Flappers. Butterfly flappers at wings.
Is that where that term comes from?
Yes.
Yes, Dave.
They made
read a book.
I know. Sometimes I don't connect obvious things.
Yeah. You're the smart one.
Well,
yeah. Well, you play the role of the smart one. We lived in the curtain a bit here, but it's actually Jess and I.
We are mega smart.
Yeah, you're controlling me. I'm a puppet. I'm a puppet man.
You're a puppet-sized puppet.
How
they
convenient.
They said, do you want it like man-sized? We said, absolutely not.
No. That'd be suspicious.
It must be puppet-sized.
Could we get it in the size of a boy?
Do you want it to be like a big strong boy?
No. What have you got in puppet size? Oh, puppet size puppet.
We want a weak little boy. I want to be able to put my thumb and index finger around his bicep. Tiny little boy. Then we also had to develop different voices because that's how we talk quite naturally. Mic, we talk like this.
Like and this.
Honestly,
hi.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's gross.
I hate it.
Hearing back is the worst.
But, you know, it's all part of the brand.
Yeah.
But I do miss my authentic self.
Yes. Me too.
No.
Me too,
I've
lost Jessica.
Mine now. Sometimes I get so lost in the character.
You get lost in the Caribbean.
I lose me. No. Dave, please don't project onto me.
Yeah. The puppet's projecting back onto its master.
Ah, you admit it, I'm your master. Master. Clean the floors, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now this is a relatively short report because it's a pretty fantastic story.
I mean, two people have been tragically killed, but I love it so much.
Yeah, it's so wild. Now it was time to claim their cash. They finally killed Malloy. Now they've got to get their money.
They get their $350 each.
They only got $800 from the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
They're hoping for about 2.5, was it?
I think so. It was going to be $3,000 in total. So let's say on average $1,000 from each.
Okay.
So they get $800.
And that was, they said, it's because you've clearly killed this person who is not the person you've said it is.
Yeah.
But we'll give you $800.
How's that?
We love a body's a body.
What do you do with the body at your insurance company?
Up.
Hand, like finger over the mouth.
With chloroform.
Apparently, Murphy and Marino each spent their share on a new suit. All they had to do to get a new suit was kill a guy.
Oh, my God. Over 7 weeks.
Why not steal
months.
A suit?
Seven
if you're going to do a crime.
7 months. They paid.
For a suit.
They paid insurance premiums. They paid for wood alcohol. Marino runs a bar. His bar lost money instead of putting that money back into his bar.
But he hasn't fucking charged anyone.
He bought a suit. So they're incredibly intelligent people.
But now I look great whilst I'm getting ripped off by my customers.
Pasqua arrived at the Prudential office, confident he'd collect the money from the other two policies. But the agent, spanner in the works, said, well, when can I see the body? And Pasqua was like, oh, it's already been buried. And that caused some suspicion. And the insurance company alerted the police. And in May of 1933, Malloy's body was exhumed for investigation. It was found that he had not died of pneumonia. Green, who was the cab driver we remember, was not happy with his cut. He started talking.
Oh.
And so I assume back then they just had no way of finding out. Like, they hadn't thought this through at all. Like, just looking at the body, they were able to find out it wasn't how he died. Oh, my God. They were a little naive.
I was so naive.
Just steal a suit.
Steal a suit. Steal money.
Like, you've got months. Use that months of planning to plan one night of a suit shop heist.
Not even. Do you know what? Spend that amount of time just trying to improve your business. Know what I mean?
Okay.
My main thing here is, why didn't they just put him on the street and run him over? Why do
they tried that.
Why do they hold him up, though?
Yeah, it is weird.
You could have just been like, oh, I'm a cab driver, came around the corner, didn't see him because he's a drunk guy passed out on the street. That's an accident.
Well, I still don't think Green is going to be like, oh, officer, I accidentally hit him. You'd like hit and run. Not that I'm saying that's a good thing to do.
Oh, my God. We're saying some true colours here.
Hit him and run. So anyway, Green starts talking.
Oh, old Herschel Green. Yeah. Hershey Green.
Herschel.
Police discovered that a homeless woman had died in Marino's speakeasy under suspicious circumstances and that Marino was the sole beneficiary of her life insurance policy.
Hmm.
That is weird.
Weird.
Let's look
so not only
into
are they,
this more.
They've absolutely cooked this bad plan, but it's also uncovered his last bit of dodginess.
Yeah.
Silly boys.
Then I read, and I don't have much detail. Also, this story obviously is from a very long time ago, and there's a few sort of articles written about it, but not a heap of information. It just said that on a separate matter, Tough Tony was shot dead and Joseph Maglione, his like sidekick, was charged with his murder. I don't know if he actually shot him or if he was just falsely charged. Don't know.
It would be funny if that one was a genuine accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just showing him how my gun works. Look at this. It goes bang.
Oh no. Not again.
I'm losing all my friends.
Not again.
I just
want to
impress him with my... Not again.
Though. Not again.
Not again. Always just going to make a call. Love that. That's a good bit. Good
carry
bits.
The one.
These are all the best bits. Use them in any scenario. Any scenario, they're all funny.
Any.
Read a book.
Read a book. Before long, there was enough evidence to arrest the remaining murder trust. Frank Pasqua, Tony Marino, Daniel Kreisberg, who we haven't heard much of, but he was there the whole time, Joseph Murphy, all appeared at the Bronx County Courthouse. First, they tried to plead insanity.
All of them.
But when that didn't work, they tried to implicate each other in the murder.
I'm either insane or they did it.
Yeah, I'm crazy. Woo! No, you're not. Okay, it was him.
Yeah, he did it.
Then that didn't really work either. So then they tried to accuse Bastone, the guy who had died.
That's where they should have started.
Of Malloy's murder. They're like, the guy you can't question.
Yeah.
It was him.
Why didn't we say that first?
Yeah, we should have said that before I said I was kooky.
Because I'm insane, that's why.
I'm insane.
What am I like?
It didn't work, and in June and July of the following year, 1934, Pasqua, Marino, Kreisberg, and Murphy were executed by the electric chair at Sing Sing Prison. Harry Green, the cab driver, was the only member of the murder trust to escape execution and was instead sent to prison.
Right, so how many people were executed then? A lot.
It's quite a body count.
Four?
On this episode.
Pasqua, Marino, Kreisberg, and Murphy were all got the electric chair.
And then Big John got shot.
Tough Tony was already dead.
Tough Tony.
I don't know what happened to McLaren, actually.
And then
Harry Green went to prison.
Right. You'd never get in a business with a group of people who are willing to kill for a small amount of money or any amount of money, right? Wouldn't you? As soon as it happens, you're just not. I don't think they're the most trustworthy people, especially when you open up to a huge group.
Yeah.
I'd say the moral of this story is try not to kill people, please.
That is a good moral, yes.
Had you seen that? Read in between the lines. I reckon it's in there somewhere.
Try not to kill.
Yeah.
Also, trust no one.
Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not trust.
Yeah.
People called Bad Tony.
Perfect. But yeah, it was kind of a pretty memorable, obviously, case because he survived at least five attempts on his life before they finally got him. But that is my story about Mike the Durable. Or Iron Mike.
The Durable. It's such an understated
I know.
Word. It's like
Irish
unkillable.
Rasputin.
Wait, what's the Rasputin
I don't
thing?
Know. I actually don't.
Rasputin, they try to the kill story him. Goes that he wouldn't die.
Right.
Right,
but
yeah.
They shot him and then stabbed him.
I remember the part about his dick.
Yeah, right. No, they shot him and stabbed him and then threw him in the ice. And.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
And also, I think also poisoned him as well. He also, they'd been fed... arsenic or something like that, everyone would die. And he was like, yep.
Yeah, delicious. Any more?
And then, yeah.
I feel like they really missed the trick by not using him as a, just as a carny sort of sideshow guy.
I think there was something about it, like the case was one of the very first cases to be investigated by the New York City Medical Examiner's Office. Like it had just been... founded.
Right.
And so then it sort of like it was a historical case anyway.
So it was unlucky for the murder syndicate, really.
That is unlucky.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad time to be
God, if he died 6 months earlier like they wanted, probably would have got away with it too. If it wasn't
exactly.
For these
got away with it too.
Examiners.
Just fucking die the first time. Yeah, anyway, it's funny because I had this written down a little while ago as a topic that might be good for a mini report, and then I started researching and I was like, there's definitely enough for a full report. It was actually a fairly short report there, but...
It's good to have short reports sometimes.
There's not heaps and heaps and heaps of information and nothing that you can really verify a lot. But if you want to read it, there's a very good article on the Smithsonian, which I reference. It's probably my main reference for this one because it sort of had the most information. But anyway, that is the wild story, Michael Malloy.
I'm so glad you brought it to the group because I'd never heard of it and I love it.
So fun. The man who wouldn't die.
I really wish he just kept living forever.
I know. I'm sad he did die.
I thought it was all over when he got hit by the car, though.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to think that. Yeah, I wanted you to think that.
Did well.
4 weeks later, walking in. Hey, it's up.
You will not believe. Because we've all got that friend, especially when we're younger, we've all got that friend who always has crazy stories from, like, the weekend. They come into work and they're like, oh, God, I did this. And you're always like, you're so crazy. But in this case, they're like, for fuck's sake, Mike, please just die.
He walks back in. None of you visited me in hospital.
Yeah. You guys are supposed to be my friends.
You would not believe the month I've had.
I told you everything about me. I told you I'm approximately 60. I told you I love seafood.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was 60.
Well, yeah, they think. But also, like, he's also been living pretty much out on the street. Like, he's been homeless for quite a while and is a big, big drinker. So he could be younger and he just has not aged well.
He's 32 years old.
Just built up a real resistance.
Yeah, it seems that way. But maybe, like, too much. But, yeah, anyway, isn't that crazy?
Crazy cool.
Love it.
Did you have fun?
Not so much fun.
That's all I want.
That's what it's all about.
That's all I want. Well, that brings us to the segment of the show that the people love, the people want, the people need.
I need it.
The main event, if you will.
Yes. Now that we've got the entree out of the way, it is time for the fact, quote, or question section.
Now, Matt, this comes from a Patreon supporter, and if people want to support the show on Patreon, where do they go?
They go to patreon.com/dogoonpod. And
damn right. And in exchange for supporting the show, if you want to keep us rocking and rolling, you can go there and get a couple of bonus episodes every month that no one else hears, access to ticket pre-sales. We've got a Facebook group and stuff that no one else is involved with. We'll give you a shout-out, which we'll do in a couple of minutes. But also, one of the Sydney Sheinberg, rest in peace, deluxe package tier members gets to submit a fact, a quote, or a question and give themselves a nickname that Matt reads out.
And this week, the fact, the quote, or the question, it's a fact, comes from Johan, I'd say. What? An O with an umlaut on top. Uwall, maybe? Johan Uwall.
I love that.
And he's given us this fact. And like I say most weeks, I am reading it for the first time. So be patient, please. He says, I had a hard time coming up with a fun fact for you guys, so I decided to Bing Google and then Google the word fact. Instead of finding an actual fun or interesting fact, I chose the Wikipedia page about fact as my fact. So this is a fact about fact.
Yes.
And he quotes, I guess this is a quote from Wikipedia. A fact is a thing that is known to be consistent with objective reality and can be proven to be true with evidence. For example, this sentence contains words, is a linguistic fact, and the sun is a star is a cosmological fact. Further, Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States, and Abraham Lincoln was assassinated are also both facts of the historical type.
This is like
there's a lot of many facts in this fact.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit like cheating for my part since it technically includes several facts, but I just thought it was funny how they kept mentioning more examples as if it wasn't clear enough what a fact actually is. If you deem this message to be too long to read out, then just choose one of the facts mentioned above. I believe they're all fine facts.
They're fine.
As a title, I would like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, since that is probably my favourite title. It's a great title, good film. I haven't seen it in ages, but I loved it at the time.
Yeah,
it
is likewise.
It is a good film.
Good film.
I wonder if it holds up.
Let's rewatch it. Let's our next movie it. Night. Let's get out the beanbags and our matching PJs.
Yes.
Just, I'm going to make a hot cocoa.
That sounds so good.
Yum.
I love that idea.
I love marshmallows.
Me too.
I used to love marshmallows. Yeah, I haven't had marshmallows in a long time.
I was trying to play along, but I... Yeah.
Should we try marshmallows again or should we just let them go?
Well, if you think so.
Ooh.
Do you like them cooked or do you like them on an open
gotta
fire?
Got to be roasted on an open fire.
Yeah, they are better roasted. But I used to just eat them raw.
Oh, yeah. There was something fun about being like you toast the skin and then pull off
yes.
the skin.
Yes, and it's all kind of gooey inside.
Goo on a stick.
And then go again.
A bush stick
from
somewhere.
Just keep burning that goo. Yeah.
Slowly creating a coating of goo.
And then lathering your body in it. And then jumping in the fire.
And then going to school.
Yes. morning.
And the other thing we like to do with Patreons, if people who've supported us on patreon.com/dogoonpod, is we'll thank some of our supporters each episode.
We will do that. We do it every time.
We normally do it with a bit of a game, a little bit of a fun game that we play. Jess comes up with some sort of a game. I always call it a game. It's not at all a game. What is it?
Just a bit.
It's a bit. It's a bit of the show.
Should we name their gang?
Okay.
You know how like they were the murder trust, but they don't have to be murderers. We can we can tell them what their like philosophy is.
That's great.
But their gang of friends, what are they called?
I love that. I love that so much.
Do you?
Yeah. And kicking off. Oh no. What does this mean? What have you done? All right, let me Google what this address is. Oh, no.
I've looked ahead and there's actually some incredible ones this week.
Oh, no. What have we done here?
Oh, no.
I see. Gothenburg in Sweden. But obviously that's not how Swedish people say it. It looks at Gutenberg Sverige. Is Sweden? Do Swedish people call Sweden's
Sverige?
Sverige.
Yeah, I think
I didn't know that. Gutenberg Swedish. Sverige. Sverige. Well, I apologize for all of that.
And who are you actually thanking, apart from the whole country? Obviously, we love the sport of the Swedes.
Michael Medin? How would you say that?
I think you definitely nailed it. One of the three.
All right, thank you so much, Michael.
It's so cool that someone's listening in Gothenburg, Sweden.
That's sick. That's so awesome. Good. So you got goth right there. What's the gang? Is it a gang of emo gang?
Yeah.
The emo emus. They're all just not into it at all.
Dave's not into it either.
That was no good.
Emus are an Australian animal.
Come on.
Yeah, but this is
Do you say emu or emu?
Definitely. No one says emu. Americans say emus, but what do they know?
No, there's
about
a...
emus.
No, don't bring up the mayor thing again.
No,
because I think I was proven correct in that one.
No, but and I will I'll say this again. You weren't saying it in an American way. You were saying it like mayor. John Mayer.
Mayer.
You were going, mayor, as they would say.
And but you're arguing with all the Americans who message in saying, yeah, Matt was right. They're the ones you're arguing with now, Americans. You're telling Americans
how they
pronounce words.
Yeah, we say it like mayor, and you're going, mayor,
You said everyone says mayor.
Okay.
And I said, no, that is not right.
Everyone says mayor. I'll admit defeat there. But you were also saying it incorrectly, mayor.
Well, no, the point is a lot of people say it a lot of different ways.
Sure.
One of the ways some people say it is.
Incorrect.
Mayor.
Yes.
Mayor.
Pleased to meet you, Maya.
I feel like this we've overshadowed the thank you to Michael Medin from Gothenburg, Sweden. I think that we should say he is part of the Batman Boys.
That is so much worse than emo emus.
That's terrible.
That's bad. I'm going with Batman Boys.
Batman Boys, thank you so much.
What are you talking about?
You've really lost.
You can have another go with the next one.
I think, again, people are going to back me up on Twitter.
And they probably will, and that's fine.
Mm.
They're right and you're wrong?
Yeah, but once again, I should probably remind them that this comes out a few days after we've recorded, and as soon as I leave this room, I've forgotten everything. So I'll have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll know what you're talking about. They get around.
So at Matt, I don't
care. Yeah, vote one Batman Boys.
They get around in Gothenburg City wearing leather jackets with emus on the back. It's sick.
All right, you're right. We didn't yes and you there, and we should have because we're a team.
Just another
emo
just
emus.
Just another.
I'm literally trying to do it right now.
Another example of being let down.
I'm
by
backing
my so-called friends.
I'm backing you right now.
I'd also love to thank
Matt. I'm not backing you.
Unbelievable.
Where is this place?
Yeah, there's a few amazing
I'm guessing
places.
This is Finland.
This is Finland. Yeah.
Wow, from Lahti in Finland. I'd love to thank Henri Strandman.
Gang.
Mm.
Is Finland the land of 1,000 lakes or 10,000 lakes?
They got lots of lakes, do they?
Yeah, like got And oh. I think 10,000 is actually an underestimate. I think it's actually tens of thousands.
Okay, I've got it. Then his group of friends are the Lakers.
Lakers.
That is cool.
That's cool.
I'm cool with that.
I hate it. I think we should do something else because I'm a mean person.
I backed you.
I'm a big mean. You did not back me. Rewrite history. Mean people.
Okay. All right, Matt.
Can't believe I came here today feeling good about myself. I'm going to
leave. Never feel good about yourself.
Yeah, you feel like an emo.
That's your mistake.
Yeah. So the Lakers. Yeah, that's great. Good one. All right. Thank you so much, Henri.
Yeah, good one.
Dave, do you want to thank some people?
Yes, I would love to thank next. Like, we are moving across the countries here. Well, we moved east and now we're going back west. From Trondheim in Norway now.
Oh, great.
We have landed all in the same area.
Can we just say we thank the people in order of their pledges? So I don't know if that week in that part of Europe we suddenly took off or something.
Yeah.
But thank you so much from Trondheim in Norway, Alexandra Simonsen. Or Simonsen. Alexandra Simonsen from Trondheim, Norway.
Dave, we've both thought of something. You came up with the terrible...
Batman Boys.
Yuck.
The
awful.
Worst so far, I'd
see
say.
See if you can...
By quite a stretch.
See if you can redeem yourself. I came up with the Lakers. Okay. That was fucking sick.
That was really great.
Thank you so much.
When I think of Norway, I think of playwright Henrik Ibsen. So, Henrik's Heartthrobs.
Oh, actually... I don't hate it.
You're on board with that? Matt, what do you think? I mean, you feel free to have a crack at me here.
I think it's fine. One of my favorite songs from a couple of years ago was Bergen to Trondheim by Sunkill Moon. What did you say? Can we merge the two together?
Henrik's Heartthrobs.
Oh, no, that's great. That stands for one.
Are you sure?
It's a really good song, but it is interesting. I'd never...
Thank you so much.
I never...
appreciate you being genuinely nice.
I knew that song, and I know it's about he wrote it, I think, on a journey between these two cities, but I never knew that was where that was. So it's in Norway, Trondheim. That's cool.
That is pretty cool.
Very, very cool. Thanks so much, Alexandra.
I've never been to any of the Scandinavian countries. I haven't been to that area at all.
Love to.
I've been to Sweden and... They are as beautiful as everyone says they are.
Yeah, I bet. I've got to get there someday.
My cousin Finn, when he was about, he was only like 5 or something. He was very little. And they went to Finland and he just had the best time. Because he was like, it's my land. He'd walk around like, my name's Finn.
That's me.
And he was so cute.
The closest I've been is seeing Children of Bodom live in Melbourne. They're like a Finnish metal band. Very silly, fun band.
Very long hair.
A lot of long keyboard solos.
Love that.
Real fast key solos.
Love a key solo. All right, thank you now to... It's honestly still impressive that you are listening in New Haven, East Sussex in England. I'd like to thank Peter Denyer.
Peter Denyer.
Yeah, I like that. It's great.
Sounds
name.
Like like you're replying to something. Sussex. Peter Denyer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like
great
that.
Great to meet you, Peter Denyer.
Peter Denyer.
All right, Peter Denyer.
Peter Denyer now.
Oh, Peter Denyer. That's what it sounds like.
So some sort of maybe like the Lion Kings. Well,
Rafiki's something.
Ah, Rafiki's Ruffigans.
I like it.
Rafiki's Ruffigans. Matt does it again.
Wow. Jess is really, it's really trying to win you back.
Yeah, you're not letting a patronising sort of level.
You're not letting you back into your heart.
I cannot win.
Peter Denyer,
you know what you did.
Rafiki's
Ruffigans. Thank you so much.
That is good stuff. Hey, can I thank some people, please?
Take us home, please.
I'd like to thank also from Great Britain, Andy Conduit Turner.
Conduit.
ACT.
The Capitals.
The Capitals.
That's good.
Now, Andy, the Australian Capital Territory is Canberra, and so we sometimes just call it ACT. And that's – I just wanted to clarify because you're in Great Britain. You might be like, why are you calling me the Capitals? That's why.
And you know who does the work up in the Gowers? What are the clowns up there? Maybe
the clowns up in Canberra.
Hey, where's the comedy? I thought the comedy festival was over. But up there in Canberra, you know.
The clowns.
The capital clowns.
Yeah.
Capital clowns!
The symbol is definitely a laughing clown.
But like a scary looking clown.
Yeah.
Like a bad clown. Like a clown who definitely knows where drugs
are. And holding a wad of money.
Yeah, money. Whoa. And then a baseball bat in the other hand.
Whoa,
yeah.
Three-handed clown.
Yeah. I've only got money in one and baseball in the other.
Yeah, and the other one, and his third hand's given the finger.
Okay, well, he's got three, then he has to have four. Okay. So the fourth one's holding drugs.
Okay.
just some sort of
or
drugs.
A cigarette at least.
Yeah.
You know?
Of drugs.
A cigarette, a drug cigarette.
Speaking of drug cigarette type paraphernalia, I was at the airport yesterday morning, very early, about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Too early to
the airport. I swear to God, when I was in the bathroom, I looked over and someone was washing a bong.
Amazing.
Washing out a bong. Inside the airport.
Well, yeah, you're not going to put that in your checked bag, are you? You'll get wrecked.
No, we've gone through security, so it's obviously been come up through the been scanned. They've seen a bong gone. No worries. Now he's washing it out in the toilet.
My bag got pulled up.
Illegal, right?
Yeah, but it just seemed like a strange place to wash your bong.
Right. My bag got pulled up the other day because I had tweezers in there.
And did they throw them out?
No, but they just two pairs of tweezers had gotten tangled, so it looked a bit odd. And they're like, "We got to go through this whole bag."
Tweezer kings.
I was like, "You,
they get tangled."
You need to calm your farm. Anyway, so thank you, ACT. And finally, bringing things a little closer to home, from Christchurch in New Zealand, just across the pond, I would like to thank Sam Phillip.
You were talking before, Jess, about wanting to get a dog and naming it Sam.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some sort of a dog, Dogs of War or something.
The War Dogs.
War Dogs. Warthogs.
Warthogs!
They've done it again.
Yeah.
Sam Phillip.
Warthogs.
And the Warthogs.
Remember? Oh, Sam Phillip and the Warthogs. You're also a band.
Yeah. You're a front man.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Love that.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you to everyone for supporting us.
That's honestly amazing. All six, none from Australia then.
Yeah.
Wild.
Three from countries we rarely thank.
So good to thank all of you.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. And
can we visit all of you?
That would
be
great. Do you have three couches?
Bunk. If so, why?
In 25 words or less, tell us why.
Why have you got so many couches? That's crazy.
And can we just sleep on a spare bed?
Yeah, it's the first bed.
We've got many beds, but you asked for couches.
So we bought them.
So we bought three couches.
I own a chalet. I have many rooms available for you, but you asked for couches. You may sleep in the foyer.
Okay.
I don't know what accent I'm doing there, so it can't be offensive.
Well, it's a mix of all six of those accents we talked about.
Brilliant. God, you're good.
I am.
So good.
The best actor in the world. Yeah. Thank you.
And thanks to everyone that supports the show. If you want to be one of those legends, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod right now.
Yes. Right now.
Do it.
There's
a heap of different rewards, including bonus episodes. You get two per month, as well as a chance to vote on topics.
Oh, I forgot that one. Yes. Yeah, you changed the history of the show.
So two out of three of the topics are voted on by Patreons. Mm-hmm. Even though anyone can suggest them, so if you are a listener and you're not a Patreon, you can still suggest topics in the link below in the description. You also get shout-outs, obviously, on this podcast and also on Book Cheat, Dave's podcast about books where he reads the classic novels so you don't have to.
That's right. Check it out. Latest episode, what's the one? I did The Tempest, Shakespeare's magical play. Lots of magic going on in that one. And my guests were Nick Mason from The Weekly Planet and Sam Loy from Human Ordinary. Great podcasts.
And also Primates is my podcast about primates popular culture. And last week I did the original Aladdin with the guys from the Total Reboot / Mic Check podcasts, Alexi and Cam. And next week, or tomorrow even, I'm going to do the brand new Aladdin. So see how it stacks up against the old one.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, see how Will Smith comes up against Robin Williams.
It's a tough battle, I tell you.
Yeah, but I've heard good things. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it over the next, well, by tomorrow, I guess. Yeah.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
It's a good bit.
Why don't they bring that bit back?
Bring the bit back. So I talked all about that Robin Williams performance last week and how he ad-libbed most of it.
Seriously? Yeah. Wow, what a guy.
He was probably an absolute nightmare to work with. That would be really hard.
He is a lot. And other rewards including you get a weekly newsletter usually and access into a Facebook group. So we're always there hanging around chatting. But other ways you can get in contact with us is going to the email address, which is dogoonpod@gmail.com or our website, dogoonpod.com. squarespace.com.
And that's got links to everything.
Including our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/dogoonpod. And there's all episodes are up there, including live episodes. Most of those have been videoed with a video camera. Yeah, so you can see it's moving.
We've got the camcorder out.
Yeah.
You can see what our faces do.
The pictures are coming to life.
Yeah. Like some sort of magic. I still think it's, you know, magic. How do they do it?
I don't get it at all.
What's the science behind it? Anyway, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode with me doing the report. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great topic. I'm already head deep in.
Head deep?
Head deep.
But did you dive in or?
Yeah, like an emu.
An emo emu trying to drown themselves in a topic.
Yes. And it is very interesting.
What is it?
Nearly
got him.
You thought about it.
It's crime related.
Ooh.
That's all I can say. Anyway.
Nah, say more.
Said too much.
It's about humans.
I know.
On the wrong side of the law.
Whoa.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
But until then, we'll wrap it up and say goodbye.
Laters.
Bye.
Got it.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.